Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
You know, God is doing something that's really profound. Do you believe that? I'm sorry, do you believe that? Lift your hands up and let's do the very first thing we're going to do is going to thank Him. Father, we're grateful. We're so grateful for your gracious provision for what you've given to the ministry. We're grateful that your heart for us is unstoppable, is immeasurable. We're grateful that we are here today as yours. We belong to you and none other. We desire none above you. We're grateful that you put that in our hearts. There isn't anything about us that we can boast about, not even getting saved. All of that has been your work. You have saved us, you have delivered us, and we're grateful for it. And so God, we spend this time celebrating who you are, not just with our mouths and singing, but also with our ears. Worship demands that we hear. Worship demands that we think. So my prayer on this morning is that every heart will hear you. If they hear from me, it's not much. If they hear you, their lives will be changed. We boast in the fact that your word is filled with power. Your word is filled with life. No one can ever be the same if they hear you. I pray no one walks out the way that they came in. Encourage those that are discouraged. Heal those that are sick. Lift those that are down. God, for your glory, undergird those that feel like they're falling apart. These are your people, and we bless you for this. In the wonderful, matchless name of Jesus. And everybody in this place, give him a thunderous, crazy praise. Like, come on. I mean, come on. One of those, yes. Those of you that are watching online, take the moment out to bless God wherever you are. You may be seated. God bless you. Eagle River, joining us online. Certainly love you all there, of course. We'll be seeing you soon. We love you and appreciate your heart and all the kings throughout the world, throughout the nation in the world. It's a very unique setting around the world that is one church with many extensions. Very, very unique setting. We love King's Cathedral. We love, of course, I call him Dr. Bracken. We love Pastor. He's an amazing him. The family, the Bracken family at large, is very much my family. I love them dearly. We even have some lookalikes. I was doing my hair this morning and saying, boy, I sure look like him. My God, today. I know you love him. I know you're praying for him, and I know you appreciate him and appreciate them. How many of you miss them, right? Yeah, I know you do. God bless you. Let's go to the word, shall we? I want to go to the word of the Lord on this morning. Have some time, and I want to spend that time really ministering about some things very, very specific in the area of us knowing Jesus. I know that sounds like, you know, elementary. Oh, okay, I know the Lord. No, but I don't mean just know about him. I mean, I want to speak specifically about knowing him. And the reason why that has really hit my heart and God has really dealt with me about it, it centers around the fact that there are so many people, they know church, they know church stuff, they know all of that. But to know him, you can't know him and be the same. It's like it's impossible. How many of you have found yourself every now and then losing patience and tolerance? Well, there's a difference too, but how many of you found, let's be honest, how many of you have been a little praying for God to help you with patience? Put your hand up. Only three of you. The rest of you are not human yet, but we're believing for you. How many, and intolerance. Have you all ever reached a place like, ooh, did she do that one more time? I'm going to slap her lips off. Anybody ever reach a place you just, God, please, Lord Jesus, if she looked one, you know, we can be intolerant and we can certainly lack patience for what's to come or what God has ordained to come. And one of the things that I've found that in the life of Jesus, how patient he is. Oh, the things he puts up with is like, listen, I'm just saying, I couldn't be Jesus. Not in this natural man. Listen, I'm just saying, Jesus was so patient and is so patient. He's so patient. I want you to think. He's patient. And his patience is filled and moved by the fact that there's something about your life that he has a plan for, and his patience connects to your life and his plan for you. How many of you have found yourself impatient with yourself? Have you woke up one morning and just said, I don't even like me this morning? Anybody here? It went beyond not liking your hair or your clothes. I just can't get this kink out of my head. Honestly, we can be pretty special at times. But I'm so grateful that God is patient with his people. As a matter of fact, you can't really love correctly and be like Jesus without patience. You're going to need patience. I'll say it again. You're going to need patience. Let patience have her perfect work. There is something about this moment that if we're not patient, we're going to miss the nuances of what God is wanting to do and produce, and what God wants to be our fruit. I've had people tell me for many years that they just can't take it no more. I'm church hurt. I'm burnt out. Y'all not here, but I mean, I've had, you know, they come to church 4 times a week, or should I say a month, or whatever the case may be. And they find ways to come up with the place or come up with the thought that I'm just burnt out. Man, I just can't do it no more. Like somebody else needs to usher. I'm like, I'm done. Like I am not ice skating in this church another Sunday. Like it's over with. Anybody understand? Where it seemed like something just wears them down and wears them out, and before long, they're wanting someone else to take. And I respect the fact that we work in the things of God and we serve. How many of you appreciate every server and every worker and every usher? How many of you appreciate that? Those that are out in the parking lot and taking care of things, and you know they're moving the snow so you can go, so you can get in here and learn how to flow. So you, when you walk out, you have a glow. I'm just saying, how many of you appreciate that? You appreciate people's commitment to accommodate you. But I have to tell you something. I'm just being honest. After 50-something years being in ministry, I started preaching when I was 14 years old. After 50-something years, I have to look at you and stand and say, I'm by no means tired. I'm just saying, I mean, I can take a vacation if you want to send me on the cruise, but I'm not tired of preaching. I'm not tired of praying. I'm not tired of casting the devil out. I'm not tired of counseling people in trouble that need direction. That's just me, though. I'm just saying, I don't walk home, and my wife greets me at the door and says, oh, you poor soul, look, you so pitiful. Come in, all the stuff these people doing to you. Come in, baby, let me go ahead and massage your shoulders. That's not how it works. The word energizes you. You can always tell a word-driven saint, because they have this ridiculous energy. It doesn't mean that they don't feel it physically, but on the inside of them, something is turning. You might not see them dancing, but on the inside, they're doing somersaults. Something is happening in this. Put your hand up if you understand. So we know that God's word, according to Hebrews, the 4th chapter, is an energizing word. It is a word that once we embrace that and receive it and we live for it and live in it and live with it and live because of it, something happens. Something transpires in your spirit. Something transforms in your mind. Something happens. I've always had an issue when I hear people talk about how burnout they are. I'm going, what you doing burnout? You ain't even got started on fire yet. I ain't seen not even a flame. As a matter of fact, you've been an irritating smoke. What are you talking about? Come on, you guys. It's Sunday morning. Come on. But you understand? So you work close to the pastor and you're weary and you know, all these changes. I'm going, who are you working with? Who are you working for? And what are you working with? Now, I realize, I understand a little bit about psychology, and I understand clearly that we need breaks and we need this, but not from God. I don't want to ever vacation from God. Moses said it like this, Lord, if you ain't going with us, I ain't going. I don't want to go anywhere without God. Lift your hand up if you want God more than you want anything. So now, why am I saying this? I'm saying it for this reason. You're now in and you possess what God promised you. This building is a new start. Smile, please. Don't get so familiar. I was doing fine. I don't know what happened unless there's something going on out there. Don't get so settled that this is it. I promise you, it gets better. That was a good place to clap your hands. I promise you, it only gets better. But it's more land, we got to vacuum more, we got to clean more. You know, we got our Starbucks in the lobby. We got so, We got a lot of work. Yeah, like, duh. But that's why you embrace that word, because that word embraces you and energizes you supernatural. It's not your strength. It's a supernatural strength that God gives you to serve him. Lift your hands up for a moment. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your presence and your glory that rests upon this. And now I want you to pray. Don't just listen. Pray, 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 pray. I thank you for the grace that is upon your people, Lord, to do more than they've ever done, go farther than they've ever went. I pray they'll speak more the word of God than they've ever spoken, that there be more miracles when they lay hands on the sick. When it comes to casting demons out, the power and the energy of your word will flow through them. Thank you for saving Wasilla. Thank you for your delivering power. Don't care anything about the drugs, how people boast, how great it is and how bad it is. You can deliver anybody, anywhere, at any time. If y'all believe this, open your mouth and say amen. So let's read a few passages. I want to read out of the book of Mark first, real quickly. I want to read out of the book of Mark, and this is going to be in three lessons this morning. Of course, this service, the second service, and then also tonight where we'll be praying for the sick, anticipating supernatural miracles. Do you all believe that God is a healer? Do you believe he's a healer? So let's read out of the book of Mark, the 8th chapter. Would you read there? Would you go there for me and just read with me? I want us to read, it's a familiar story, but I want us to read some things here. Most of us know this chapter by heart probably, but I would just want us to look at a few things. And here's what Jesus says. He immediately, or should I say he commanded, sixth verse, he commanded the multitude to recline upon the ground, and he then took the 7 loaves of bread, and having given thanks, he broke them and kept on giving them to his disciples to put before the people, and they placed them before the crowd. Let's look at just a few things here. He commanded the multitude to recline upon the ground. He then took the seven loaves of bread, and having given thanks, he broke them and he kept on giving. Do you see that? He kept on giving. Say it out. He kept on giving. Say it again. You ready? 1, 2, 3. He kept on. There you go. He kept on giving them to his disciples to put before the people, and they placed them before the crowd. He kept on giving to them. He's wanting to satisfy their hunger. And what did he do? Say it loud with me. He kept on. Come on. You can say it. I know you can. Here you go. He kept one after the other, and they just kept giving to the disciples. Just these few loaves of bread, God kept multiplying, and he kept multiplying them for the sake of the people. He wanted their stomach to be satisfied. He wanted them to know, hey, you ain't just hanging out with anybody. He kept on giving. They multiplied, and they multiplied, and the disciples taken out. It's 4,000 people. You can imagine, you know, taking this to 4,000 people. Interesting. And they had a few small fish, just a few. And when he had praised God, giving thanks, and asked him to bless them to their use, he ordered, I love this, to their use, then he ordered that these also should be set before the people. So I want you to just kind of picture in your mind, if you would, for a moment. You've got all these people, they're all hungry, they all want to eat. I don't got to tell y'all, you know, you already know what hunger do to some people. Well, what's wrong with you? Just leave, don't talk to me. I am hungry right now. Anybody ever met angry, hungry people? Some of you are looking at me like it's you, but have you ever met angry, hungry people? Just like, wait, listen, not right now. Don't listen. I got to eat. Some of you do that with coffee. You can't even get in the right mood until you drink your coffee. If it wasn't for your coffee, some of you wouldn't even be saved. Thank God. Yeah. So, but the idea, he's concerned about them, and although this may sound simple, not a big deal, it concerned him, and he wanted to provide and give to this multitude. And they ate and were satisfied. Tell me what they did. They ate and were, come on, say it out loud. Come on, shout it out. If they were gonna be satisfied, they would have to eat what was provided. They ate and they were satisfied, and they took 7 large provision baskets full of the broken pieces left over. And there were about 4,000 people, and he dismissed them. After feeding them, he dismissed them. Watch, these verses are pretty intense. And at once he got into the boat with his disciples. What did he do? We're leaving from one location, we're going to the other location. Now, let me just stop for a moment so I have a few minutes with you. And I want you to just picture this, if you would. Just picture. The needs of the people have never exhausted God. God has more provision than you have need. It's never been a problem with God. And what I love about it is he never gets tired and weary of providing for us. You can smile or something. The God that you're serving, he never runs out of power. And you know he's good, right? I'm just saying with me, he's good, right? Now, but it's interesting, if you just think, you know, from a biblical perspective, God being so good, so great, I mean, the stars, everything that exists depends upon him. He keeps them with his own power, right? But what's interesting, what if he was good, but he didn't have the power to get it to you, couldn't transfer that to you? God's transferring power is no joke. Demons hate the fact that you believe. They hate the fact. They hate the fact that you put your faith in a God that constantly provides for us. You understand? And so here we are getting tired of praying to the God that loves to give to us. I'm tired of prayer. Do we have to pray all the time? God is going, wait, you missed it already. You don't understand. I love providing for you. I have no problem with providing. You don't have to pull God's arm. You don't have to wrestle him down. You going to give me my car payment. You don't have to try to manipulate him. You don't have to have no attitude about him. I just want you to know he has an attitude about you, and the attitude is he loves to provide. Like he has no problem. You don't read nobody in this scripture that walks to Jesus, I didn't get my fish. Not one person complained about their need being met. Everybody was satisfied. Not some. Everyone was satisfied. And may I say this to you, I hope you don't get upset with me, but you will never make me believe that God wants us to have a church that is unsatisfied with the presence of God. You'll never make me believe that God gives to some, but others, he just kind of dismisses. God wants the church to be full of provisions that he gives. He loves to provide for you. You don't have to beg him to save your children. He loves to save your children. You don't have to beg God to deliver your house. He loves to deliver houses and homes, families and marriages, because he's that God that provides. So then what's going on with many Christians? What's happening statistically concerning depression and oppressions among believers? Why do we come to church with, not you, but I'm just in California, why do we come to church with the attitude of, we hear now, we'll see what happened. How come they singing so long? Why they so loud up there? The drums just boom, I just feel it all in my chest. Why do they turn things down and turn other things up? God is going like, you have no idea what I provided for you. You can complain in the midst of all provision. You can gripe in the midst of God doing what you know you and I cannot do. Have you ever met people like that? They gripe about everything. What's wrong today? Girl, it's my knee today. Yesterday was my back. The day before that was my foot. The day before that was my elbow. And the day before that, girl, listen, I was just gassed. I don't know what's going on with me. And God has said the entire time, the provision that I give to you is not on loan. It does not set you in debt. I have broken deficits off of you. I'm not trying to get you to borrow something from me so you can pay it back with interest. I freely give to you. Now, it'd been interesting if the disciples, as they was leaving, because Jesus commanded them to go home, be disciples, if they were out there and they had a bag out and said, okay, how many fishes and loaves did you get? Three? Okay, that's $15. How many did you get? It'd be weird if he was sending out some type of tab for you because of his provision. He's not. He's saying, I have freely given to you with no problem at all. Doesn't run out. I'm not tired. However long it takes to satisfy you, the tension that some of us live in is ridiculous. You treat God like as though that he's a horrible father. As though that he needs to go to some type of counseling and get counseling on how to provide and be a great father. But I got to tell you, he's a wonderful father. I've got to tell you, not only does he provide for me, his provisions is wonderful, but even more than that, he saved me. He's a wonderful daddy. Abba, my Father. Yes, yes. Listen, I love it. When you pray, pray this way. Let's pray it. You ready? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed. You're not praying. What? As? What else? Our? Do you get it? What kind of bread? Shout it out. What kind? God has no problem with provision. It's in the middle of things that some of us become a little nervous. We find reasons to charge him. We find reasons to complain. Like some of you have no idea. If you knew that next week that your son was getting saved, you would praise God now. You don't have no idea what God is doing underneath the cover of things that your eyes cannot see. And it's not just you're not seeing it, it's how he does it, it's when he does it. His time is always perfect. God targets everything with perfection. God knows how to deliver those that call on his name. Do you believe it? Open your mouth and shout if you believe it. Open your mouth and shout if you believe it on this Sunday morning. So then if you keep reading some of the things that really gets to me, let's read down, just kind of skip down a few verses real quickly in the 12th verse. And he groaned and sighed deeply in his spirit and said, why does this generation demand a sign? Positively, I say to you, no sign shall be given this generation. And he went away and left them. And getting into the boat again, he departed to the other side. Now they had completely forgotten to bring bread. Very important. They forgot to bring bread, and they had only one loaf with them in the boat. One loaf for all 12 of them. And Jesus repeatedly, expressly charged and admonished them, saying, look out, listen close, keep your heart guarded. In other words, keep on your guard and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of the Herod and the Herodians. Important. And they discussed it, and listen to this, and reason with one another, it is because we have no bread. Listen, you know what's interesting in the verse, in the verses beneath that is, they discuss, and being aware, this 17th verse, of it, Jesus said to them, why are you reasoning and saying it is because you have no bread? Do you not yet discern or understand? Are your hearts in a settled state of hardness? Now, don't get upset. I love you. But it's possible that some of us are suffering with the hardness of hearts. Very, very possible our reasoning is not intact with who he is. At one passage, which I love, Jesus asked them the question, said, who does man say that I am? Not what, who do they say that I am? If you read again, he actually begins to deal with people from this particular position. What did you go out to see when you wanted to check out John the Baptist? Who? What? What did you? Who did you? Now, I don't know if you can appreciate this. I know we are looking at a great moment in history. As crazy as our country is right now, which I love America, but I gotta say there's some cray-cray going on. And I don't mean crayons, there's some straight up cray-cray. Political craziness, laws that actually give you the right to sin, they got the backing. I don't even know how it made it to the Supreme Court, but it did. We're living in the time in which things are changing constantly, and there's nothing that is firm. But aren't you grateful that God's word is firm and the foundation doesn't change? I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say with all boldness at the same time, I want to be very sensitive about this. It's when our hearts become hardened. It's when our reasoning becomes filtered with what we see and what we behold. And we begin to esteem that higher than the God that we're serving. We're not weary and tired about anything. I had somebody say to me one time, said, I'm just tired. I'm looking at them, I'm going like, well, every service I do this. I said, sweetheart, you only come 4 days out of a month. But it's the only time that I get off. I said, but you work 40 hours a week. Well, I've got to pay bills. Maybe you're not understanding what you're saying. Your heart has been hardened. there's something that you're not lacking. It's not a lack. Your reasoning about what's in front of you has a problem. They go, wait a minute, wait, what do you mean? I said, just hear me. You come to church 4 days out of a week, and you want me to celebrate you bringing your sinful, nasty self? I'm sorry, I didn't say that. I should have, though. It's coming on me now. No. I feel an anointing right now. But in my head, I'm going like, we're going to come to church, and we want people to celebrate that we showed up. I'm here. You don't tell that to your boss when you show up. Can you imagine going to work in McDonald's? You're here. I'm so glad. Come on, let's have a praise meeting. She's here. Can you even imagine something that crazy? But for some reason, when our reasoning changes, our hearts become hardened. And it doesn't even take much. You can walk in church and somebody shake your hand. I don't know what's wrong with them. That's why I don't even like going to church. Every time I go to church, have y'all met people like that? I know I'm just talking Cali. It cannot be in Alaska. But I'm telling you, in Cali, we have some issues that people look at you wrong. Don't shake your hand. Don't celebrate you. You have to cushion everything and cuddle people constantly. Why is this? The reasoning has caused their hearts to become hardened. Because when God comes in, and you're going to find this happening in the next few months like never before, there's going to be an invasion of surrender. And what that is going to detail is that the reasoning that keeps us somewhat distant or somewhat agitated or frustrated or irritated or spiritually constipated, all of these Pastor Chris wanted me to tell you that. All of these different things, what you're going to find is surrender is going to cause us to give up the wrong reasoning, listen please, and the wrong identity of who Jesus is. Now you say, what do you mean by that? Jesus said, well, who does man say that I am? They told him Moses, Elijah, you know, some think you've been raised from the dead. Bob, he said, who do you say that I am? And when Peter said it, no doubt you're the Christ, you're the Messiah, you are the Holy One from God. Jesus says something very interesting, said flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. So then the question is, if they've been following him all this time and didn't know who his real identity was, why were they following him? What was their reasoning to follow him? Why would they follow someone that they don't even really, really know outside of seeing miracles? His true nature, the revelation of who he really was, Jesus said, my Father revealed that to you. You don't get the praise for that revelation. I'm not writing a song about you. I'm not writing a poem about you. I'm not going to bring up anything at all to give you some kind of special blessing. The blessing is in you knowing who I am. When that happens, I promise you, your worship, your attitude, listen close, and your service is transformed. I walked to church 14 to 15 miles every day for a straight year. In the rain, in the heat, it didn't matter. And I walked with a supernatural strength, a different reasoning. I watched the saints get off of Highway 10, and I'm miles away from the church. And when they get off of Highway 10, they know they see me, because I sure see them. And it's raining. And back then, I had an afro. Don't judge me. Yes, I did. Hallelujah. And they're in the rain. I'm in the rain. They're driving in the rain. They have seats in their car. And they wouldn't even pull over and pick me up. You know what was so funny? I didn't care. When I saw them, I said, hey, I'll see you there. Attitude unchanged. Why? The reasoning for me going was different than seeing them. It was about Jesus. When he becomes the reason, it's difficult to be offended by people. If you're here for people and not here for him, I promise you it's not going to be long before your patience run out. It's not going to be long before you find fault. It's not going to be long before you come to church and just sit, no worship, hands are down. You're just looking around. It's just some little ritual. I'd be glad when I just come because, you know, I was drunk last night. I need help. I was smoking some sick of weeds, and I just need God. So I just need to show up to church so I can feel better and let everybody see. At least I go to church, don't I? Your reasoning, read my black lips, is jacked up. When he becomes your reason, when your reasonings have been touched by his purpose and his presence and his person, then nothing becomes impossible. When your reasoning is him, not your husband, not your children, not your house, not your car, but it's him, it's his person, it's his presence, it's his glory, it's what he says, it's how he touches, how he moves, it changes everything. As long as your reasoning is the church and it's just KC, then you've blown it. It's got to be the Jesus in the church, the Jesus in KC. Talk to me for a minute. 14 to 15 miles I walked without ever complaining. As a matter of fact, my pastor, when he saw me walk in and saw my hair all wet one particular service, he said, Robert, well, he didn't. He said it like this. He's Okie, you know, from Oklahoma. And he said, Robert, my God in heaven, you're soaking wet, boy. Did you walk to church? He thought I was going to say, no, I just got wet coming from the back, you know. And I looked at him and said, yes, I did. He said, my God, you mean to tell me you walked to church? I said, yes, sir. My God in heaven, Robert, is thundering out there. You walked 15 miles. I said, yes, sir. I said, my God, well, get your hair dry, son. Get up on those drums. And I said, yes, sir. Listen, no, there was no depression, no rejection. And back then, I had to walk through a part of getting there through the KKK area. And they called me every kind of name you can think of. And I had so much joy, so much strength, so much peace. My reasoning was touched. Come, let us reason together. In other words, something had changed in my spirit. So I couldn't be offended. How do we get in this thing? And the older we're in it, it becomes easier to be offended, easier to grab attitude. Easier not to praise. Like this morning, some of y'all know you should have been dancing like you lost your mind. You know good and well for you to even be here is a miracle. Some of you, God kept you through COVID and you didn't think you were going to even live, but you're here. Do you understand? But after a while, you know, it's like marriage. You know, when you first meet her, oh, mom, you got to meet her. Oh, my God. Mom, I ain't lying. She reminds me of you. Oh, mom, she can cook too, mom. Woo, Lord. Sister be going like, mama, you're not going to believe it. He's the one. I know he is. Mom, he's the one, mom. Like, oh, mom, he gives me shields. Start dating. It's all cool. He opens the door. You get in. He shuts the door gently. You get married. That honeymoon stage, everything is so amazing. Your reasoning hasn't been affected by this love that you have for him. His feet don't even stink. We know you're lying, but it's okay. You're saved. I'm just saying, love covers everything, a multitude of stink. But you don't find the fault. You don't find the issues. It's when you get in that reality stage, then things start changing. If he does open the door, he don't shut it gently this time. Attitude changes. You stand at the door now to get in the car, and he looks at, what are you waiting for? Get in. You gotta go. His attitude, his conduct, his behavior, the way he speaks to you, how he talks to you. You no longer just cooking dinner, waiting for him to come home. No, you got microwave going on. Dinner in the microwave. Baby, but I thought we were having steak. It is. It's in the microwave. It's a little bit like leather, but you'll be all right. You're tough. Attitude shifts. You can always tell when a person's attitude shifts. Listen close. They're no longer embracing the energy that the word provides. And God's energy never ever loses its force. Do you understand? Something happens when we become so reasonably complainers in the church, and then you find someone that can complain the way you do. I didn't like that either. You know, they sing all right, but I don't know. I mean, it's all right. Small little things begin to eat at you until now the parasites live off of your reasoning. And now you're so uncomfortable, you're just coming for whatever reason, but he's not fully your reason. You can tell when you have folks that have the reasoning of Jesus. You know how you can tell? You can just say, hey, it's time to praise God. Look, come on, let's bless them. And they go nuts. People that have a reason not to praise God. Oh, my elbow hurt. Ow. You know, you've met people like that. I've been going through so much. We can tell. We can see that mug of yours. Smile. Come on, you guys. It's Sunday morning. Come on, come on. You know, come to church. Can't hardly wait to get out of church. Reasonings change. The word frees you so powerfully that your feet starts dancing. The praise is so crazy they can't get you to shut up. All right, you guys, settle down, settle down. And then when offering comes up, they go crazy. You remember when you first got saved, you couldn't give enough. One guy brought a bike and laid it at the altar. I was in San Francisco, laid a bike, that's all he had, his bike and his shoes. He laid it at the altar. That was his gift. I'm going like, oh my gosh. A few minutes later, a lady walks in and said, the Lord told me to give something to someone here. And she looked around and said, it's you. She walks over and gives him keys to a car. Not just any kind of car, it was a Rolls Royce. True story. The key itself, the little emblem, was 24 karat gold. He had enough just in the key to buy some bikes. I'm just saying, I ain't want to gossip. He drove off with no shoes. He drove off with no bike. But I'm sure he was satisfied with that Rolls Royce. But nothing can cancel out his reasoning. And some of us, our reasoning gets canceled out. You don't understand the filters that the enemy throws at you to keep you blind and to keep your praise oppressed and suppressed to where you can't find a reason to give God the praise. So no wonder he was vexed in his spirit, grieved. Are you telling me you can't discern? Remember when I felt the 4,000? He's having to repeat. Do you understand that God is wanting to deliver some of us from the reasonings that we hold back from him? No wonder people are unhappy. Somebody came to me not too long ago and said, I'm just depressed. I said, yeah, you are. She goes, you don't understand. Then my husband started complaining. I said, listen, you and your husband 3 years ago was in serving God. You both were strung out and on drugs, weren't even serving God. And you're going to let now what you all are going through to interfere with your reasoning to surrender to God? Are you kidding me? She goes, I'm not one of those kind of pastors. Oh, baby, I'm so sorry you feel that way. Oh, so sorry, baby. Oh, baby, the Lord didn't mean that. He does. Grow up. Out of all the stuff you went through, you had reasoning to be on the corner. You had reasoning to dismiss your children. Your children were literally in the legal system. You had reason. Drugs gave you reason. The drive for the drug gave you reason to abandon your looks, your hygiene, everything. And now you're going to get saved and find a reason not to give God everything. Something's wrong with that reason. So no wonder we find sometimes the Holy Spirit grieved, as though the praise and worship team is supposed to entertain you so you can do a little leap. Are you kidding me? You ought to have reason to bless God like you lost your mind. He's been too good to us. Shout in this house. Shout in this house. So he's delivering us from filtered reasonings that's interfering with what God wants. Lift your hands up high everywhere. Father, thank you right now for releasing us. Come on now. You're not going to hear me pray. You're going to pray with me. Come on. Thank you for delivering us. Thank you for your faithfulness in saving us. Thank you, God, for giving us a heart to surrender. Thank you, God, that you never change. Thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Is there anybody here that want to say it? Thank you. Thank you. Open your mouth and say it to him. Thank you. Now, I want you to stand on your feet. We only have a few seconds. And lift those hands up and open your mouth. Every oppression be broken. God, deliver the reasoning. Deliver the reasoning that filters people to give you lack of service and lack of praise and lack of giving. We've just begun. It's a new day for us. Open your mouth and bless them now. Come on, bless them.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com. May God's face shine upon you.